Good evening. Welcome to all. As we gather to worship on this Good Friday. We know our Lord has provided that one way of salvation through His death on the cross, His righteousness, His sacrifice. As far as announcements, again, we have Right to Life meeting here Monday evening at 7:30, consistory at on Tuesday at 7, and the other activities on Wednesday. I think probably all heard about the passing of Reverend Tom Mayville from, he was associate pastor at our church in Lodi, California. And details, I guess, he did have COVID or from COVID had double pneumonia and so passed away on the 31st. So certainly we'll pray for that family and others here. All right. Let's take a few moments in silent prayer as we prepare to worship the Lord our God. Please stand then for the call to worship. From 2 Corinthians 5, verses 20 and 21, as the Apostle Paul wrote, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us pray together. O Heavenly Father, again we cry out to you. We know that you are the faithful God, creator, redeemer, and sanctifier of your people. And we acknowledge our utter dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. He came into this sin-cursed world. He did all that was foretold of the Messiah. He went all the way to the cross after his perfect life of obedience, his righteousness. He kept all the commandments of God and suffered for the disobedience of your people. Oh, we praise you for such mercy, grace, and love that we have received through the Lord Jesus. How we thank you, O Lord. May we turn away from our sins then more and more and show our gratitude every day. Certainly at this time we want to worship you rightly. O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us. Guide us by your grace. And that you would be honored. Receive all the glory, we do pray, as we join with the worship that goes on continually in heaven. Again, thank you for this time and help us to serve you in all gratitude. Turn us away from all unrighteousness. Lead us in your paths again. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake, that we might be edified in him. Amen.
Glory be to the Father. Was in the beginning, 'tis now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
And again, let us confess the true Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. And let us turn to our first hymn this evening, number 247, O Sacred Head Now Wounded.
Now,
Indeed, we must confess, no matter what the world thinks, we know the truth of Christ coming and giving himself as the Holy One, the Lamb of God. We deserve the punishment, even of hell, but he bore it there for all who will trust in him of all times. The Psalter reading this evening is from Psalm 22, page 795. Psalm 22, read the first 21 verses, as we know how this foretells Christ in so many ways. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning?
O my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, have not silent.
But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel.
Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them.
They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed.
But I am a worm and no man, a reproach to men and despised by the people.
All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying,
He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him.
But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast.
I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God.
Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help.
Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me.
They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion.
I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it has melted within me.
My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death.
For dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet.
I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me.
They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.
But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me.
Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog.
Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. Indeed, Jesus had those thoughts, really, we can understand in his mind as he suffered on the cross. He did bear that wrath of God. He was forsaken in that way. And yet he trusted the Father, and he knew that he would be heard, he would be delivered. On the third day, he would rise from the dead, as we know. And so praise be to God. It was all foretold even 1,000 years beforehand, and Jesus has fulfilled it for us, for all his people. Therein lies our hope, our comfort, our salvation. Yes, our assurance in life and in death. Again, beloved, with such a God who saves his people through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have that assurance and his call even to worship and to gather, to hear his word and to respond to him in faith and obedience. And he calls us to pray to him, certainly in our worship. So let us do that together. Again, Heavenly Father, we give you all the praise, the honor, the glory, as you have brought this eternal plan of redemption to pass. We marvel at it, and we know that certainly we and all mankind, all natural born of Adam, we deserve the eternal punishment of sin. And we have brought that even condemnation upon ourselves from our first parents. But you immediately proclaim that one way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the seed of the woman who would come in time. He would win the victory over Satan, over sin and death. Yes, all the power of the devil could not keep him from doing God's will, from the perfect obedience that Christ showed, all that he accomplished. And so we thank you so much. We praise you, O Lord our God. We cannot fully grasp it, of course. We cannot understand all that you have done, why you would do it, certainly, in your infinite love and your mercy. Certainly is for your glory forever. We cannot fathom what Christ endured on the cross. That, yes, that punishment for all the sins, an eternity that was deserved for every sin of everyone who will depend upon him. And so we praise you. We thank you, O Christ, that you came and you so humbled yourself. You, as God the Son, came into this world and you took upon yourself a true human nature in which to live and to obey and to suffer. And so we give you the praise, we give you the honor that's fitting. We pray we would do that more and more in our lives, and that we would not fear to proclaim the truth of the gospel wherever we are at, that we would show it in our thoughts, our words, our deeds, how we live. Oh Lord God, we pray that more and more you would be honored, that we would show gratitude for this salvation. Again, we do give you praise, and we ask for your continued blessings upon us as we serve you in this world, as we look to everlasting life, as we have that hope, that comfort through the resurrection of Christ also. Yes, that is the only comfort for believers in life and in death, the only thing that we can depend upon, that Jesus died and Jesus rose to save us. And certainly we do pray for others at this time who grieve, that they would be strong in the faith, that they would know that you are there with them and providing as believers. We certainly do pray that for the family of Tom Mayville. We pray for Carolyn and the family. May they all look unto you, O Lord our God. We know the congregation also is grieving there at Lodi. We pray for your blessings upon each one, and certainly for the family, that you would strengthen them, guide them, and give them that peace that passes understanding, and that they can be your witnesses even through this time. O Lord of God, we cry out to you. We do pray that there be end of any more COVID deaths or related to that, and with all the effects in our country, we pray for your mercies and that you would be honored to hear us and to provide. Again, we do ask for your blessings. Certainly pray for all of us, our congregation, that we would be strong in the Lord and trust in you, whether it's health or sickness, whether we have prosperity or trouble, we know that you are the God who provides, our Heavenly Father. And so we ask for your blessings and your provisions for our nation also, that it might be turned to you, that there might be a great reawakening and many more won to Christ. As we know, that last day, the day of judgment for all mankind is coming. And so we pray for your honor in these things. Oh, Heavenly Father, we do depend upon you, and help us to serve you then and show it even in this world. Guide us, we do pray. Forgive our sins, increase our faith, and direct us to hear your word now. Help me to proclaim it, and that you'll be honored in our midst as we go forth also as your servants. Guide and direct us, we do ask, for your glory and for our good and for the good of others. We pray it all in Jesus' name with the forgiveness of our sins. Amen. Now let us turn then to hymn number 252. When I survey the wondrous cross, again, we marvel at what Christ did, what he accomplished as no one else could. We'll stand to sing. When I survey the gain
head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns composed so my soul, my life, my all.
Scripture passage for the sermon this evening is Luke 23, the first 12 verses. Luke 23, starting at verse 1. Then the whole multitude of them arose and led him, Jesus, to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king." Then Pilate asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered him and said, "It is as you say." So Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no fault in this man." But they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been at enmity with each other. Now we know there are many false accusations being made and proclaimed even by government officials lately. One such is to blame the past, the Trump administration, for the increased numbers of illegals crossing the border now. Another is to say there was no COVID vaccine being distributed before the current administration came in. Or consider that cleaning up election rolls is now supposed to be voter suppression. Or that anyone who attended the January 6th rally at D.C. had to have entered the Capitol and done damage there, even if not near enough to do so. Also, you know, to blame Bible-believing Christians for all manner of evil and uprisings is sometimes attempted in our day. Oh, all of that illustrates how sinful man certainly can show injustice and do that often. Of course, the worst injustice ever done by sinful man was to condemn the Holy One, Jesus Christ. And yet all who trust in him, we rejoice that God worked through that to satisfy his perfect justice and mercy on our behalf. And so, dear ones, let us remember what sinners did to him on Good Friday. For first, Jesus suffered the injustice of false accusations. Secondly, Jesus suffered the injustice of not being released. And third, Jesus suffered man's injustice willingly to save his people. Well, obviously, false accusations are what the Jewish leaders, those of the Sanhedrin, put forward in bringing Jesus to Pilate. After all, his accusers covered their real charge and motives. And their so-called trial of our Lord went against numerous provisions in the law to be followed for a just procedure. And yet they had condemned him on the charge of blasphemy, since he acknowledged that he was and is the Son of God. However, notice they did not mention that charge to Pilate, who would not care about their concept of blasphemy or about dishonoring the God of Israel. But here the whole multitude of them came to this governor to make their case seem most serious for him to consider and take up. And they also had other motives which were unrevealed. Remember, of course, Jesus had strongly rebuked the Pharisees publicly for their hypocrisy. And so clearly they hated him even before his trial. And they wanted him to be put to death. Also, the chief priests, the Sadducees, no doubt lost revenue. They lost money when Jesus cleansed the temple courts of money changers and animal sellers, for those chief priests received a percentage of the profits. Now, I know they probably would say those practices were a help really to the worshipers to be able to buy their sacrificial animals there, especially if they came from a long distance. But clearly it was wrong and it was distracting from God's worship. Well, along with that, some American businessmen today argue for practices that really should be stopped. Again, some want illegals to come and work for lower wages in poor conditions just to increase their business profits. And our national trade deficit with China, for example, has helped them build their military and be more secure in policies such as persecution of Christians and others. And truly, we need to pray for our own government. Oh, as for these Jewish leaders, Caiaphas, the high priest at the time, had already said it would be better for one like Jesus to die than for their positions to be threatened. And so again, our Lord's accusers avoided their real charge and their motives. Now, according to John 18, 29 and following, they first brought Christ to Pilate. He asked for what the accusation was. They said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." And so Pilate required, "Well, you take him and judge him according to your law." But they said, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." Obviously, that made it clear the only penalty they claimed as fitting for this Jesus was death. But Rome reserved the death penalty for their own judgment, for they would not want it used against anyone favoring them. And so, you can understand it was God's plan, of course, that crucifixion as a Roman means of death would be received by Jesus. Oh, the Sanhedrin had just wanted Pilate to confirm their judgment, but he would not do that. I say that's why they quickly put forward the three charges that Luke records, still avoiding the charge of blasphemy. And I think when Pilate seemed ready to release Jesus, saying, "I find no fault in this man," they uttered another indefinite complaint in verse 5. "He stirs up the people, teaching them." Well, obviously those leaders did not consider what they were doing, did not think how they were bringing innocent blood on themselves in all their falsehood. Yet by their wickedness, as in avoiding the real charge and motives even, God was proving Christ's innocence. Since they had no real charge to bring, there was no case. There was nothing to condemn him for, of course. Well, beloved, you and I should marvel at God's grace there. It was for His glory and the salvation of all believers that the Holy Jesus suffered such injustice from men. And it had to be so painful for the Holy One of God to bear that evil from man when He had never done anything wrong. Not a wrong or evil thought, word, or deed. But Jesus endured it all on our behalf for all who will surrender to Him. Yes, injustice is also seen as His accusers built their case on falsehoods. Well, as in Matthew 26, when the high priest had put Jesus under oath in their so-called trial, he acknowledged that He was the Christ, the Son of God. And so He is. He is the spiritual Savior. But here they twisted that confession to portray Him as a political revolutionary against Rome. The truth is, they would rather be with the rebels the Roman Empire would destroy 40 years later. And you know, even Pilate did not believe the political charge regarding Jesus, as we'll see. And so it's rather amazing that liberal, again, so-called theologians of our day might claim that Jesus actually did mean to revolt against Rome politically, but He failed. No, He went to the cross for the salvation of God's people. And in case the first charge was unclear, that He was perverting or corrupting the nation, basically. But they used that to introduce the second charge, forbidding to pay Roman taxes. And you know, that was just a lie. For Jesus said, just days before this, in Luke 20, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." He did not forbid paying the taxes. But if He had so forbidden them, and thirdly, had claimed to be a rival king, Pilate would take those charges very seriously, of course. So he did question Jesus, but he clearly came to believe his accusers built their case on falsehoods. As he said, he found no fault in Him. Oh, the truth was that Jesus refused to be made a political king. You remember in John 6:15, the Jewish crowd wanted to take Him by force to make Him their king after He fed 5,000 plus. But Jesus instead withdrew from them. After all, our Lord always stressed humility, service, and self-denial. Christ stressed that for all His followers as well, for you and me. We must imitate Him in those ways. And certainly when we think about our life in this world and society, Christians should really be the best citizens of a nation. And yet again, we may be accused of being bigots, for example, even when we just want to follow the Bible regarding gender and other matters twisted in our day. Well, again, the Lord's accusers spoke falsehoods about Him. Lastly, in verse 5, that He stirred up the people beginning at Galilee. And no doubt they thought that would convince Pilate, for so many zealots had come from Galilee who had made trouble for the Roman government. Their false implication then was that Jesus was one of those troublemakers. You could expect it. He's from Galilee. Well, one such was mentioned in Acts 5:37. A previous Judas of Galilee. It's recorded that he revolted, he refused to pay the Roman tax, and he was killed. Oh, dear ones, in all of this, Jesus suffered through falsehoods and false implications made up about Him. Real motives were hidden. And all believers should know it may happen to us. Certainly may. As Jesus said in Matthew 5:11, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for My sake." But Jesus said, we're blessed, for we have a reward in heaven through His grace. Thanks be to God. Well, remember, as I said, it was far worse for Jesus to bear with a falsehood, being the Holy One of God. It was part of his extreme suffering when he is the way, the truth, and the life. Second, Jesus suffered the injustice of not being released. Again, injustice was done not only by the Sanhedrin, but by both governmental leaders that Christ was brought before. He was not released when Pilate found no guilt in him. Well, as for Pilate, he was the Roman governor of both Judea and Samaria to the north. As for his character, he had a rather cruel streak in putting down any hint of disorder among the Jews and Samaritans. Again, he was like so many politicians in our day, it seems, in that he lacked common sense or grace in dealing with people. They may just try to push evil things through. As for him, he used, for example, temple funds to pay for an aqueduct, and he defiled the temple at Jerusalem when he brought Roman shields into its courts with images and names of Roman deities on them. And possibly some of the Jews so protested at that time as to be the reason he killed some of them, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices, as said in chapter 13:1. He was finally removed from office after killing many Samaritans about to climb Mount Gerizim following a false prophet. And so you can see, Pilate was a proud, cruel, and superstitious man, but he was always seeking to protect himself, and he hated the Jews who troubled him so. He did not want to help this Sanhedrin, and so he sought justice here to a point. To a point. But when his position was threatened, he surrendered. Yes, yeah, surrendered like many in politics and business and sports people of our day. Well, dear ones, in all four Gospels, his first question to Jesus is identical. It is literally, "You are the King of the Jews?" The "you" is emphasized, of course, since with all he had been told, he would expect a resistance fighter. That Jesus appeared harmless. But we should be so glad. We should rejoice. Jesus Christ is, as in Hebrews 7:26, the high priest fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. The only one who can save us. Yes, Pilate asked that question sarcastically as if to say, "How ridiculous, you, the King of the Jews?" And Jesus replied literally, "You say it." It was an affirmation, but still a reluctant assent, as said. For Jesus meant he is the spiritual king, not, as the Sanhedrin or Pilate meant, a political one. And he explained it in John 18:36 and following. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. But now my kingdom is not from here." And he said, he came to bear witness to the truth. From that, Pilate took Jesus to be a religious leader with disciples, a spiritual king if he wanted to call himself that. Also, the governor realized, as Matthew records, that the Jews were envious of this religious leader. And other answers satisfied him that this man was no political threat. And so again he said, "I find no fault in this man." No fault. Oh, dear ones, that should have ended the matter. If Pilate had done justice in his office, Jesus should have been acquitted, of course, and released. Yet the governor was afraid of trouble from those Jewish leaders which they could cause. And I think it's John's gospel where they finally said, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar's." And then he determined to let him go. Well, I ask, how often is the right thing not done in this world for fear of man, for fear of people? Instead, all should rightly fear or seek to honor our God, of course. Oh, a recent survey said the majority of people fear the woke culture, which can get you fired for standing with traditional marriage and gender history and so forth. Yet if no one paid attention to those denying obvious truth, there would be no trouble they could cause. Anyway, before you or I just condemn Pilate, let us consider how often we have not done what we knew was better, what we should have done. How often have we not spoken in witness for Christ when we had good occasion to do so? Again, the blessed assurance, though, for all Christians is that Jesus suffered the penalty, the full penalty, the infinite wrath of God for all the wrong, all the injustice that we do toward others, that we may be forgiven and live with Him forever. Yes, that is, of course, why He went through all this injustice from man and on to the cross. So He suffered in not being released by Pilate. Likewise for Jesus, when He suffered when Herod found no guilt in Him. Well, only Luke records this appearance in verses 6 to 12. And obviously Pilate did not want to handle the case as seen in all four Gospels, meaning he saw no reason for death in Jesus. And in Roman law, a trial usually occurred where a crime occurred. You can understand that. Yet it allowed for cases to be referred to where the accused was from, and that is what Pilate sought to do. So he did when he heard of Galilee. And Herod Antipas was the tetrarch of Galilee, receiving that rule when his father Herod the Great died in 4 BC. Tetrarch was a lesser title, like a prince, yet he might commonly be called a king. Anyway, this Herod could think referring the case to him was a gracious consideration, but it was Pilate's way out, so he thought. It was Pilate's excuse for not doing the right thing. He simply did not want to become involved. And again, obviously that is an excuse of many and today and ever since the beginning of the world, really, to not help those treated unjustly and even when a crime is being committed against them. I don't want to get involved. Well, at any rate, Herod was an unjust person as well. Indeed, he had John the Baptist beheaded at the insistence of Herodias. And she had been wife of Herod's brother until they took up together. And so this Herod was an adulterer and a murderer. Yeah, you see in verse 8, he was very glad to see Jesus, having heard much about him. And he hoped to see a miracle done. Previously, at least, he had thought Jesus was John, risen from the dead, as the reason he could perform miracles. And he wanted to see one, you know, as if seeing a magic demonstration, maybe. Oh, clearly Herod's level of interest in the things of God was like many people. And you might hear someone say, well, if I saw a miracle, then I would believe in God. I'd believe in Jesus. If only I saw that like they had back then. Yet as Romans 10:17 declares to all, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Hearing His word is what all need, of course. And to repent and believe it. Well, if Herod had thought Jesus was truly a prophet, he should have heard God's word from him previously. He had opportunity to go where Jesus was for the 3 years of his ministry, but he did not. For he would not submit to God's commandments as John had repeatedly called him to repent. Therefore, Herod was not a sincere questioner, but a trifler with God, as said. And here, plainly, it was too late for him. Too late for him to truly seek the word of the Lord from Jesus. And so he is the only person recorded that Christ gave not a word of response to, for God is just. He didn't want to hear before. He would not hear now. Indeed, along with that, those refusing the words of life from the Scriptures should not expect God to specially guide or provide what they want. For we are all people are responsible to deal rightly with whatever He gives us to receive more. Now when Herod got no answer, nor miracle, he lost interest, and he would not try the case. He was disgusted, though, and he took vengeance in mocking Jesus. And how incredible that is, you know, when he had who? The Son of God, his Creator, right there before him. But unbelievers will be and are that foolish and evil to reject Jesus Christ. Herod was probably, though, afraid of condemning another innocent man as he had done with John. But he was angry, and he would not acquit Jesus. Again, in God's sovereign plan, he sent him back to Pilate, sharing in guilt with him. Well, certainly you can see, understand that God is not honored by those exulting in their supposed greatness in the world, like Herod and Pilate. But the unbelieving, no matter how rich or powerful in this life, will be humbled before Christ at the last day. And you and I can say that to anyone who stands against God's word in their lives. They will bow before Him. Also here, the innocence of Jesus was declared in that Herod was not concerned about Him being a supposed revolutionary. And then in verse 12, Pilate and Herod became friends. For hatred of God and contempt of Christ can unite the wicked, as it were. But may all be aware, we certainly should beware, that it is a worthless friendship to be agreed in evil. And you know, sometimes young people or older, we can have such friendships, as it were, going along with the evil of others for the sake of so-called friendship. Well, that friendship of the world is enmity toward God. And so, beloved, you and I must rather seek righteousness and true friends, being friends of God first and above all, friends through our Lord Jesus. For He suffered all this injustice for all who will trust Him. Third, then, Jesus suffered man's injustice willingly to save His people. Of course, it was all our God's plan that His innocent one would be condemned for others, as the gospel assures the faithful. And we know He bore God's justice due to our sins. Well, Jesus had to first receive the earthly judge's proclamation of being not guilty. And, yeah, Pilate said that at least three times, it's recorded. He said it directly, but later he had Jesus condemned, that in God's plan, our believer's guilt might be atoned for with Him, the holy, universal judge. Yes, Jesus fulfilled all the suffering foretold for Him, even hell itself, to bear God's justice due to believer's sins. We know He fulfilled Isaiah 53, for example, being like a lamb silent before its shears. But think of it, His followers can know He was silent before many charges then, so that after His cross He could be our spokesman before God. And so He is now interceding for us. Praise be to God. And through His suffering and silence, all Christians are enabled to cry out, Abba, Father, to our God. And though it was utterly unjust for sinners to judge and condemn this Holy One, there, believers are assured that we are freed from our guilt and we can approach God's heavenly throne in worship, which we do. And yet, remember, those who instead imagine the cross of Jesus to be foolishness or a stumbling block are hypocritical scorners of God, unashamed of their own unrighteousness. But more and more, may you and I instead glory in the cross. Glory, as Paul said, in the cross. Rejoicing in our Savior, Jesus, who suffered injustice from man willingly to save His people. Yes, he is our only comfort then, in life and in death. Indeed, we must gladly submit to our saving King. As Jesus declared, he is the spiritual King, the Redeemer before whom every knee shall bow. And Pilate, Herod, and the Sanhedrin should have bowed before him instead of showing all manner of contempt. However, since Christ stood before them, again, we can stand acquitted before his throne at last. Yes, dear ones, all who submit to him in true faith by his grace find esteem, acceptance with God and with holy angels. Oh, you and I know that we must gladly submit to him as our saving King, for God the Father has shown it plainly. You know, even with the cast-off robe that was put on Jesus in mocking, God was showing that his Son really is the saving King. Indeed, so many are like Herod, though, with just idle curiosity to see or learn more about Jesus. Others are sincere, like the Greeks who came in John 12, wanting to see him soon before his death. So then, may our own hearts, our hearts, be filled with faithful, glad submission to Jesus Christ, who rules in heaven now for the good of his church. May we long to learn more of him and seek him always. And being reconciled to God through Christ, let us be friends with one another in promoting his kingdom in love, duty, justice, and mercy. May we show what a saving King we do have. For he took God's wrath that we might live forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we praise you again for your great plan of salvation. We praise you for the glorious Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save sinners. Everything he said and did was aimed toward your glory, and for that end, the redemption of your chosen ones. And so we marvel at it. We give you praise and honor. And we know Jesus bore all that injustice for the sake of all who will trust in him. And so we give you the praise. We give you the glory. We thank you indeed. We do pray that we would be more filled with gratitude to know how Jesus bore the wrath of God due to our sins, and that we gladly will submit to him. May we do that more and more, as he is our saving King, ruling in heaven, who will come again at the last day, and all will stand before his judgment throne. Yes, O Christ, you will bring the glorious new world, where there will be no more sin or suffering, pain, tears, or death. All who trust in you will enter that glorious eternal life. So we long for it, but help us be your witnesses now in this sin-cursed world, and may many more be won to that salvation, to trust you, have repentance and faith, which are your gifts. Again, we give you honor and glory. Forgive our sins where we have not proclaimed your name and the gospel as we ought. May we do so more boldly, as we know that is the only answer for fallen man. Guide and direct us as we ask it all, in Jesus' name and for his sake. And now we do pray together as Christ taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us turn to our last hymn then, number 254, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed, as we'll stand to sing.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed? Sovereign time, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I.
Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. Thus might I hide my blushing face while his dear cross appears. Dissolve my heart in thankfulness and melt mine eyes in tears. The drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. Is all that I can do.
To receive the Lord's benediction. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.